give you a little bit this morning on this. Because we're going to talk about forgiveness.
You know what the...
In Luke, or Matthew 6, 14 and 15. But if I could talk to you about peace, if I could talk to you about freedom, those are two things... Okay. If I could talk to you about those two things, I like to... How many of you like peace? How about freedom? You like freedom? How about you like to be bound? You like to feel all restricted inside. You like to worry about what other people think about you. You like to have turmoil, confusion, doubt, fear. How many of you like that? I'm sorry, I didn't see that hand. I'm sorry, what? Peace? Freedom? I'm going to give you two verses. I dare you to write them down, and I dare you to pray them. But only do it if you want peace or freedom, okay? Only do it if you want some keys to your life, to learn to live this way. See, for years I'd go to church. Well, I don't know if it happened for years. I noticed for other people, for years, they'd go to church. And when they went to church... It was like they entered into a brief little time period where they got blessed and refreshed. But then they went the rest of their week. Do you know there's 168 hours in a week? They went the rest of their week, about another 166 to 167 hours, without God. And then there was people that were more hungry, and they came back on Sunday night because... They enjoyed Sunday morning so much with God, they wanted more. And they were a little bit hungry. So they came back on Sunday night to get more of God. And as they brushed up against Him, oh, they got some of God on them, and it was like, oh, it felt good, and they thought they could make it all week. You see, we act like we're a car. We come to church on Sunday, and we get filled up. And then we're supposed to drive around all week on what we got on Sunday. Well, you see, that's religion. What we talk to you about is relationship. In John 15, Jesus doesn't compare us to a car with going and getting filled up with at a gas pump. What Jesus compares is that He is the vine and we are the branches. Now, have you ever tore a branch off of a tree or off of a plant? Have you ever tore a branch off? What happens to it? It dies. And before it dies, what happens? That's right, you ripped it off, and then you ripped it off here, and then it dies here. But what happens in between? First it was green and bendable, you know what I mean, pliable. And then it turns brown and it gets hard. And then it dies. And Jesus said in John 15, this isn't one of the verses, but you could write this one down. This is just a freebie. John 15, and about verses 1 through 8, right in there. Jesus said that we are the branches and He is the vine, and we need to stay vitally connected with Him 24/7. Just like a branch hangs onto the vine. And as long as that branch hangs onto the vine, guess what happens? The life of the vine flows through it. And it stays pliable. Okay? And it's green. It's living. And guess what else? It gets fruity because fruit comes out on it. Oh, Brother Harvey, you must be attached to the vine because you're fruity. That's right. I'm attached to the vine. And good fruit. The fruit of Jesus flows through me and comes out. You get it? Two verses. You ready? Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." I could give you other companion verses and I will at some other time. I'm just sharing this with you. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. When you're not in peace, stop and find out what took your peace. And get back into peace with God. Colossians, C-O-L, just C-O-L, and then it's just C-O-L is how you write that, Colossians. And then it's chapter 3, verse 15. So you just write like this. You ready? Watch this. I'll show you how to do it the way I do it. Okay, watch. Like this. C-O-L 3:15. That means chapter, verse. And it's real simple to write it like that. Makes it easier, right? All right. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Get back into peace today and learn to practice peace this week. In your heart. Stay in peace with God. I'm telling you. And if anything interrupts your peace, ask God, what is it? He'll make it real clear. Because He wants you and Him to be vitally connected. So whatever's stopping the flow, He'll show it. All you got to do is ask Him and a thought will come to your mind. It's God. It's God telling you what it is. We're going to talk about one of those things that stops the peace of God, and that's called unforgiveness. We're going to talk about that this morning. Let me give you another verse. John 8:32. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Everyone in this room, to receive more freedom in your life, there is a truth that you're not in agreement with. There's a lie that you are believing. And it's keeping you from getting free. There's something that's blocking you. And it's keeping you from getting free. Maybe it's worrying about what other people think. That's a lie. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. You can't please everybody else. I tried before. And if I'm pleasing Him, it doesn't please Him. And if I please the two of them, it didn't please her. It doesn't work. I'm preaching around the country in different churches. I went to one church and I preached, and they loved it and they wanted me to come back. And while we were going to schedule this week-long meeting or whatever it was, we got to talking and he asked me about a certain other preacher, brother. And he said, "What do you think?" He started talking about him in a way that I didn't like him talking about him. So instead of me trying to straighten him out, I just simply talked in favor of this other brother. As soon as he found out that I wasn't against this other preacher, he didn't want me to come to his church again. He cut me off. Why? Because he, in his heart, had something against somebody else. And he wanted me to be on his side and have something against somebody else. I didn't want that inside of me. God's not against him. Who did Jesus die for? I'm sorry? Who did Jesus die for?
Us.
That's right. But who is us?
People.
That's right. How many? Oh, that's what I want to get to. Oh, everybody! Freedom. The preacher I was talking to had a block in his heart, in his mind, that was stopping him from getting free. He was going to end up getting cut off from the vine. And he was going to end up getting all brown. And then he was going to end up getting all hard. And if he wasn't careful, he'd end up dying. I don't want to die. I don't want to get all hard. I like being all flexible. I like being free. God, I want to get free. What's in my way? This is what you're going to pray this week. What's in my way? What lie am I believing that's stopping me from getting free or stopping you from getting free in me? Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you're not free, it's because you're believing a lie. But we think it's the truth. See, we're deceived. Because the devil's a deceiver, and he's going to try to deceive you. So guess what? The name Jesus means deliverance. So you go and you say, God, please come Jesus me. Please come deliver me. Come Jesus me. You see, he's like, I can see God. He's standing in heaven. He's like, okay, come. Just ask me. And it's just, and he runs to you. I'm sorry. Some of y'all, he walks up real carefully, real kindly, because y'all can't handle him running. But I see him running, and he runs to me, and he hugs me. And let me tell you what it is. And all you got to do is say, I don't want that. I want you, God. Please Jesus me. Boom! He does the work. You don't do it. He does it for you. The same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. This is just a little extra verse for you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Sorry. I'm trying to get to where I'm supposed to preach, but I got to get all this other stuff out. Turn over to, where did we say we were going? Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Somebody say that? Okay, good. That's what I was going to say. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. Are you ready? Good. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Where is that? It's right after Philippians. Got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, I believe. Yep. Colossians 3:13. Not Philippians, Colossians. Are you there? Okay. Anybody else there? There's two people. Anybody else? Colossians 3:13. Are you there? Are you there? Is it soup yet? Oh, good. I see those hands. Are you there? I want you to get what you're going to get from God's Word. You're going to base your life on what God says, not just because I said it. I want you to see God said this. Colossians 3:13. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. He said, this is what you're supposed to look like. Christianity, Lord, what's it supposed to look like? Good question. Look at verse 12. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. What did Jesus say on the cross? What was one of his sayings? Do you remember? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Right? Okay, let's talk about forgiveness. Look over in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. We're talking about forgiveness. Matthew 18:18. Are you there? Matthew 18, 18. Jesus said, are you there? I see that hand. Are you there? I see all those hands. Anybody else? Anybody not there? I can wait. Okay, I've waited long enough. Okay. Matthew 18:18. Are you ready? Verily, Jesus is talking. Listen to what he's talking about. He's going to talk about forgiveness for the rest of the chapter, Shayla. The rest of the chapter, he's going to talk about forgiveness. This is real important, Nathan. This is real important, Shayla. This is real important. If you don't hear this, I'm going to snap your head off. You got to listen to this. This is real important. And then you won't be able to forgive me. I'm so glad. Matthew 18:18. Here we go. Okay? Now, you see, your mommy and daddy will have to forgive me after I snap your head off if you don't listen. So listen to me, okay? Okay? All right. I mean, I can hold your nose the whole time. Keep your attention, Nathan. Do you understand? If somebody else is, you two are having a hard time, then split up. You too, little snickle fritz. Okay? Because I want you to listen. Okay? This is good. This is important. This will help you in your life. You ready? Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Thank you, Jesus, for being here. Listen to this. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" You see, Shayla came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, could you help me? How often should Nathan sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times in a day?" Jesus said, "I don't say unto you 7 times in a day. I say unto you 70 times 7. Now, does that mean that God wanted us to just, Shayla, to forgive Nathan 490 times a day, and on the 491st she could kill him? No! What that meant was unlimited forgiveness. Let me tell you, we're going to talk about why you forgive people. Do you understand when you forgive people, they never deserve it? If I snap Shayla's head off and then ask her mom to forgive me, I don't deserve forgiveness. I deserve to go to jail because I just snapped her little head off. I don't deserve forgiveness. I could do it and then say, I could hit her and then say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" As her face swells up and her teeth are out, her eye gets all black. Did I deserve forgiveness?
No.
That's how some people, they think that all they got to do is say, "I'm sorry." No. That's right. No. No. No, we didn't. So let's look at what Jesus teaches here. Verse 23 to the end. You ready? Jesus said, "Therefore." Whenever he says "therefore," he's talking about go back to what he was talking about ahead of that. That's a little key when you're reading the Bible. You're wanting to study it. Ministers, that's what he's talking about when he says "therefore." "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." That means he owed him a great big debt, way bigger than anybody could pay normally. Okay? It's like as if, you know, like let's say I rented one of Mr. Wayne's houses, and the house payment was $1,000 a month, and I got way behind, like 10 months behind. Now I owe him $10,000, and he comes to me and says, "You owe me $10,000." It's not like I can say, "Oh, I'm so, here, let me just give it to you out of my pocket." Right? Like, does anybody have $10,000 in their pocket? I don't think so. You got what I'm saying? It was bigger debt than somebody could normally pay. And the king said to this man, one was brought unto him. See, he had all these people that owed him money, and they came to him and stood before him. And one, when it was his turn to stand up front, it was read, "What he owes you is 10,000 talents, $10,000, let's say." Actually, more than that. You ready? "But for as much, or since he had nothing to pay, his lord, the king, commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made." You say, what is that talking about? I'm glad y'all asked that. I wanted to tell you. See, it used to be that if people owed, and it could still happen today, that people would end up getting put in jail because they owed a debt they could not pay. And not only would they get put in jail, but like, let's say Mr. Clay owed me a big debt. And I said, look, it's been long enough now. You owe it to me. You need to pay it. I can't pay it. I said, well, I'm going to have you put in prison. And not only you, but I'm going to have your wife and your kids put in prison until your debt to me is paid. Because because what happened was they put him to work, real hard, cruel labor, but they didn't pay him what he was worth. And so he ended up, that's how he repaid. And then I got part of it, and the jailers got part of it. You understand? Do you know that that happens today? People can go to jail for owing money. People can. For owing a debt. The point is, when they went to jail, they weren't free anymore. They were bound. Are you listening? Some people are going to get different things out of this. But as soon as the king said, I want you and your wife and your kids to all be put in jail until I'm repaid what's owed me, Mr. Clay fell on his knees and said, he worshipped the king and said, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant, notice what happened. He was moved with compassion. Sounds like God to me. And he loosed him. And he forgave him the debt. He's begging, please, just be patient. Give me time. I know I'm behind. Please, have mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. And the king was moved with compassion. Said, loose him, because already they had come and took him and his wife and his children. We're getting ready to take them off, because he had just commanded that be done. And the servants, the guards, came behind and grabbed him. He loosed him. He said, loose him. And he said, I forgive you the debt. It's all done. It's all paid for. Forget it. You don't owe it to me. Because what was in the king's heart. And yet he owed him a great big debt. Verse 25. But the same servant, Mr. Clay. Sorry, I'm picking on you. Want me to pick on somebody else? I can pick on somebody else. Mr. Clay. See, I picked on somebody else. Mr. Clay, the same servant, went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Means like he owed him about 10 bucks. And you know what he did? He just got forgiven of a big old huge debt that you couldn't pay normally. And here's this guy that owes him just a little bit. And you know what Mr. Clay did after he just got forgiven of this big debt? It says he laid hands on the man, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Give me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. He said the same exact words that Mr. Clay had said to the king a few minutes before. Verse 30, and he would not. He would not have patience. He would not forgive him. He would not overlook the debt. He would not give him time. Verse 30, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, the Lord of Mr. Clay, after that he had called Mr. Clay, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you desired me. Should you not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. That means he was mad. He was ticked off. and he delivered him to the tormentors. Well, it's not just like being put in jail nowadays where you have color TV and stuff. Oh, yeah. Jails and prisons have changed a lot in my lifetime. They're not like what they used to be. What they used to be was really cruel and really bad, and then, you know, there was a lot of people that died in there because they weren't treated right. They were treated really, really bad, really bad. Like they shouldn't have been treated. Beyond what they deserve. And so, when, as public opinion or public, the people of America got to know what was going on in the prison, because that still happens in other countries. When they got to know what was going on and found out what was going on, they started putting pressure on politicians and the heads of prison and stuff to get them reformed. Well, then they went the other, from being cruel to swinging over here and making it like real nice. Like when my brother, I have a brother that when he went to jail, at first, it was like being in jail the way I picture being in jail, being in a cell and not having the best of food, but having decent food. It wasn't like fun. But then one of the other times he got put in jail, went there, they had this color TV remote, they have ping pong, they have pool, they get to play. And it was like, I'm going, this is jail? You know? And it's like, this guy did something wrong, this guy broke the law, and they're putting him in here, and I'm paying for him to be in here doing this. Now listen to what I'm saying. Jail is like when your mom gives you a timeout. That's what jail's like. Your mom gives you a timeout, and she puts a chair over in a corner, and she says, now you sit there and you think about what you did. And you're not supposed to play with things. You're not supposed to be making faces at your brothers and sisters. Matter of fact, when I was growing up, what they used to do was they used to take me, because I had this happen a lot, Shayla. They used to take me and put me in a corner. Of course, it wasn't a corner like this. It was more like a corner like that one, where there was no windows. Matter of fact, what they even used to do was they used to draw a little circle on the wall and tell me to put my nose in it. They'd have me stand up, and then they put the circle just a little higher than my nose. So I had to kind of stand on my tiptoes like this. And they make me stand there for like an hour with my nose on the circle, on the wall. You can't move. And if you did, they gave you a spanking, and then you started your hour over again. Now, that was when they didn't have me sit on a little chair in front of everybody with a dunce hat or whatever. You see, when your mom gives you a timeout, it's not because she's proud of you. It's not because she's happy with you. Is that right? It's because you did something that you need to think about so you don't do it again. You did something so that you need to weigh the consequences, because somewhere along the line you didn't learn discipline to do what was right, and you need to learn some discipline. Do you understand? But this guy not just was put in jail, he was turned over to the tormentors where they put hot rods and things to him to really make sure he understood and would never do it again. They had him grind wheat or whatever, and while he's doing that, they're whipping him or whatever they're doing, they're being cruel to them. I didn't mean to get off on all this. The king said, should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was mad and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, I want you to listen. So, likewise, Jesus said, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. God does not want us to have unforgiveness in our heart. Unforgiveness is not of God. Unforgiveness, you see, we have two choices every minute of every day. I've taught this before, but I want you to hear this. Do you know that every minute of every day you get to choose who you're listening to? You get to choose who is living inside of you. Now, you tell me, kids. You ready? Who's living inside of me right now? God? Wait a minute. God or the devil? I'm getting ready to do some things, and then you tell me, okay? Okay, I'm helping my mom do the dishes. Who's living inside of me? Okay, and I'm making my bed, and I'm doing it nice, and I'm making it all straight. I made my bed, and I cleaned my room. Who's living inside of me? Okay. But then my little sister comes in and I yell at her, "Get in my room!" Who's living inside of me? It's not hard, is it, kids? But see, for some reason, when people grow up, they make it hard. It's real simple. Who's living inside of you? Is it, see, you say, "Oh, but I'm saved and I know Jesus." Uh-huh. But who are you letting live through you right now? Anger? Pride, arrogance, unteachableness, hard-headedness, lust. Do you understand? Or peace, freedom, love, joy, tenderness, compassion, mercy, forgiveness. Who do you want to live through you? Does it feel good when you're angry? Does it feel good when you got peace? Does it feel good when you hit somebody?
No.
Does it feel good when they hit you?
No.
I don't like that. I was in a store yesterday, and I asked for a certain item. I'm sorry? A store. Didn't I say that in Northern? Okay, a store. Ace Hardware. I asked for a certain item. Some of y'all have a hard time with Southern, don't you? Yeah, that's all right. When y'all get to heaven, y'all are going to learn how to talk right. You ready now? Here we go. I'm an Ace Hardware. I asked for a certain item. The guy said, "I have never heard of that." And I said, "Well," so he goes and he looks on this book, or a computer, actually. He's looking at this one-eyed monster. He says, "Oh, yeah, here it is." And I described it to him. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, here it is." And I said, "Do you have any?" He goes, "No, we don't." I said, "Would you look?" He goes, "Huh? Can you believe that? We've got one. It says we've got one." He said, "We can't have one. I know everything in this store." This is this young kid. And I'm like, "Kid, you can't know every little item in this store called Ace Hardware. There's no way. Nobody does. That's why they've got the computer. Okay? There's no way. Like, you cocky little kid, you know?" So he says, I said, "Well, let's go see if we can find it." And he's telling me all the way, we don't have it. We don't have it. He says, "I bet you we don't have it." And I said, "Well, I don't really want to bet." I said, "Because I don't want to take your money, and I sure don't want to give you mine. So I don't want to bet." I said, "Because when I was a kid, I used to bet people all the time, and I never lost. And I told all my friends, don't bet with me. And they would like be pushing me. I know I'm right. I know. We'll bet, we'll bet." I go, "I'm telling you, I'm right." And they would push me. "Come on, I'll bet you $5. And every time I would win. And it didn't feel good, Shayla, to be taking their $5 because they didn't look good when I took it. You know, they weren't like, "Oh, here, let me give you $5. They were like, "Here." You know, snazzle, frazzle, razzle, and all these words they'd say, you know. So I learned I don't want to bet. To finish the story, the little Ace Hardware cocky little young man and I went over, looked on a shelf. He says, "It's made by Krylon." He said, "No, it's not here." He said, "You look here." He said, "Maybe it's over here by this other thing." He goes over there. "Well, what do you know?" I said, "Aren't you glad we didn't bet?" And then he said to me, I'm sorry, this is just a little part of the story, just to let you know how God got loose. It was so neat. He said to me, "Look, in a few weeks, I'm going to Vegas. Why don't you come with me to Vegas? I'll put up all the money, and I'll split 50-50. You do all the betting." And I'll put up all the money and we'll split all the profits 50-50. And I looked at him and I said, that won't work. He said, why? I said, did you know that there are spirits in everything? There's spirits around, that the spirit world is more real than this physical world? Because this physical world is temporary. He goes, yeah. I said, well, what you can't see, the spirit world is more real because it's eternal. And I said, and I've been to Vegas before. We were with somebody out in Arizona and their father had a heart attack and he was in Vegas. If I was in Vegas, I'd probably have a heart attack too. And so we went to go take, you know, visit their father in the hospital. From the time we rolled into Vegas, I could feel everything but God there. And I didn't want nothing to do with it. It was so strong. Did you sense God here today? Was there anybody besides me that sensed God here today? Well, did you notice you're in God's house? Well, when I went there, I was in the devil's town. And you know what? He was at home there, and I wasn't. He was comfortable, and I wasn't. And I told the young man at Ace Hardware, I said, there are spirits there, but they're not of God. And I've got the Spirit of God living inside of me, and I'm not comfortable when I go there because God's not comfortable there, because they don't want God. They want a different God. And the guy was like, whoa. And he didn't know what to do with this, you know. He was like, interesting. You know, it was really, I thought he was going to be here this morning, you know, because by the way we talked, it was, wow, where's your church? You know, he asked. Forgiveness. Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. Oh, yeah. Forgiveness. I'm just going to read you a bunch of stuff, okay? I could just preach this, but I'm just going to read this. Unforgiveness can restrict what God would do in others. Unforgiveness can restrict what God would do in others. Note, when someone sins against you, they owe you a debt. That's why Jesus said right there, He forgave them their debt. And we'll go into that in a minute. That's why we should teach our children to not just say, I'm sorry, but to have them show repentance or help bring them to repentance by doing a love project for the wronged person. So when Nathan hits Shayla or hurts or offends Shayla, instead of just saying, Nathan, say you're sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, that helped me a lot. Thanks for saying it. You know, you spit on me. I'm sorry. You know? Yeah, that's, yeah. Oh, thanks. That ministered to me, Mom. Thanks. No. What we taught our kids to do was, you know, you hurt her. You owe her a debt. What we're going to have you do is we're going to have you do a love project for Shayla. You know, and then we would pray and ask God, what would you have me to do? I want you to, for the next hour, no, for the rest of the night, I want you to meet Shayla's needs. If she wants something to drink, you get it for her. With a good attitude. Otherwise, we can do it tomorrow, too. If she wants something to eat, you're going to get it for her. And by the way, when she's not asking you to do something, I want you to clean her room and vacuum it and dust it and fold everything in her drawers and put all her toys away nice. Because you know what? You owe Shayla a debt. You hurt her. And you know what? Just saying you're sorry isn't going to do it. Shayla, I could have said, Shayla, do this for Nathan. And then, Nathan, while you're doing these things, I want you to think about how you treated Shayla. Because I want you to think about what Jesus said. Whatsoever you have done to the least of these, you've done it unto me. You're not just doing this for Shayla. Because you didn't just hurt Shayla. You hurt Jesus. You